Good to be with you on this weekend. It's sort of a Thanksgiving holiday weekend. I thought this weekend we were thinking about being thankful as God's people. And to think about Thanksgiving. This is a time when most of us on Thursday sat around and probably ate a little more than we should have and hopefully gave thanks for all the blessings we've received. We're called to be a Thanksgiving kind of people, or generous people, or people that share. And that's what we're going to hopefully look at for just a few minutes this morning, is the idea of our Thanksgiving before the Lord. Over the last couple months, we've looked at what it meant to be a people worthy of our calling. And we've concentrated on the chapters in Romans where it talks about really, what does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself? What does genuine love really mean in our lives? And we're going to really conclude that, hopefully, this morning, not from Romans 12, but we're going to be over in 2 Corinthians, when looking at what is genuine really, how do we show that? How do we really show the genuineness of our faith and our love? And we'll see that by being a generous people, being a people that give thanksgiving to God and to those around us. And hopefully we'll see that as we go through our study this morning. And that our giving needs to be real. I came across a little story this week of a preacher who went to visit a farmer. And as they were walking along, the preacher turns to the farmer and says, "You know, if you had 100 horses and there was a big need in the church, would you give 50 of those to the Lord for the need there?" And the farmer said, "Sure, if I had 100 horses, I'd give 50. And he said, "What if you had 50 cows and there was a big need for those? Would you give 25 of those to the Lord?" And the farmer said, "Oh, sure. If there's a big need, I'd give 25 of my cows to the Lord." And he said, "What about if you had 2 pigs?" He said, "Now stop right there, preacher. I've got 2 pigs." And sometimes we look on giving that way. It's good to kind of talk about. But let's be real about what we're doing with our giving and our generosity. Really, I want you to think about being a generous people before the Lord. What does the word generosity mean? There's a parable over in Matthew chapter 20 where the landowner owns a vineyard and he goes out in the morning and he sees a bunch of guys standing there and he says, "Go work in my vineyard and I'll give you at the end of the day a day's wage for your work." And so they go out and they work in his vineyard all day long. And he goes around lunchtime and he sees some other guys standing around and says, "You go in my vineyard and work and at the end of the day I'll give you what's fair." And then at almost the end of the day, like about 5 o'clock, an hour or two before quitting time, he goes out and he hires some more guys. He says, "You go out and work, and at the end of the day, I'll pay you what's fair." And so the end of the day comes, and he starts giving them all their day's wage. And the ones that were hired last, he gives them a day's wage, a denarius. And the ones that were hired at lunchtime, he gives them a day's wage, which was a denarius. And those that were hired at the very beginning that worked all the way through the day, he gave them a denarius. And those guys, they say, "No, that one, how fair was that?" They grumble and says, "You know, we worked all day long. These other guys, they only worked a couple hours. But you made them equal with us." And notice what the landowner says. When this is in the end of the parable. But he replied, "Friend, am I doing to you no wrong? Did you not agree to work for a denarius or a day's wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give the last workers I give to you. Am I not allowed to do do what I choose, what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" Now, is that word, I want you to just think a little bit about, what is it, that word generosity? That word generosity can also be translated goodness. In fact, if you go through scriptures, the words goodness and the word generosity come from the same basic Greek, word. A lot of times we think about what does it mean to be good or goodness, and we think about, well, somebody that's honest and doesn't lie, doesn't cheat, that doesn't do anything bad. But the word goodness in the scriptures means a lot more than that. It means somebody that doesn't do those bad things, but is beneficial or generous to do good. And the idea of goodness then, to be completely good, means you don't do wrong, but you do good. And that's part of being good. Being good means to be generous. As the landowner was, he accepted all the workers the same. We accept each other the same. We've looked at that in our fellowship. But it means the idea of doing good to those, being beneficial for those around us, being generous as a people. And that's hopefully we'll take a look at as we look over in 2 Corinthians. Now we're going to take a look. Our text this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. As a background for that, I'd like for you to take a look very quickly at what was happening. Over in Jerusalem and Judea, in that part of Israel, they were having a famine. Basically, they'd had a drought for the last couple of years, and it was sort of like a natural disaster. And so Paul was going around the churches in Greece and in Asia, taking up a collection to take over to the Christians over there to help them out. Very similar to what we would do sometimes when there were some tornadoes in the Midwest. We took a collection to help the people that had gotten hit by those tornadoes, a natural disaster. That's what Paul's talking about here. He's taking a collection of money from the churches in Greece to send over to Jerusalem because of the famine that's over in Jerusalem. Now, I thought it'd be good just take a look a little bit. There's two parts of Greece that are mentioned. And one is Macedonia. Macedonia is northern Greece. And it's a hilly area, and they're farmers mostly up there, and they're basically poor farmers in Macedonia. Now, we've got two churches that we know of, Philippi, which the letter to the Philippians is written to, and Thessalonica, which is right here, and 1 and 2 Thessalonians was written to those, to the people that lived there. And Paul worked in these churches. Now, the letter we're reading today comes from Corinth. Corinth is down here in Achaia. This is a very prosperous region. Corinth was a very large city. In fact, they had a gymnasium, a stadium that held 50,000 people that they had their Olympic Games in, or their version of the Olympic Games. Corinth was a very wealthy city. And so Paul's talking about Corinth, which is here, and sending the money back over here. This is Jerusalem. This gives you an idea of the whole area. And you see, this area is pretty good ways from here. So this is where the drought was, and these are the Christians he's asking to take money to send over back to Jerusalem. And so that's what he's talking about in chapters 8 and 9, is taking up this collection to send back to Jerusalem. Now, if you look with me at the beginning of our scripture text, we're going to go back to the beginning of chapter 8. And here Paul says, I want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in the severe tests of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave not according to their means, as I can testify, but beyond their means, as of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in this relief of the saints, and the relief of the saints with the saints back in Jerusalem. And for this, not as we expected, but they gave of themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus, as he started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, and in earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. Now look at the very end of the chapter. So give proof before the churches of your love and of our boasting about you to these men. Now I want you to notice a number of things that Paul does in this section. He talks about the reputation of the church there in Corinth. He compares them to Macedonia, saying, you know, those guys up there in Macedonia, they don't have very much, but they're giving a lot. What are you doing down here in Corinth? Do we think about our reputation of a church? Do we think about what the community around us thinks about us and what kind of a reputation we have? I don't know if we ever think much about that. But that's the contrast that Paul is talking about with these churches. If you look over in the book of 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, you know, you, talking about the church there in Thessalonica, the good works you're doing is being talked about all over Greece. Do people talk about the good works that we do here? What kind of reputation do we have? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus makes a very strong statement. And look over, and this is chapter 5 of in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Now, there's two things I'd like to see in this little passage. The first, he doesn't say you are a light to the world. He says we are the light to the world. Do you notice that? What does that mean? It means that we are the way that people are going to learn about Jesus Christ. And if they don't learn it from us, who are they going to learn it from? We are the light. We are the means that God has of taking His message to the world. And how does He do that? By letting your good works shine before other people. And one of the good works we're talking about today is being generous to those who are in need. The idea of giving thanks to God by being generous to other people. And what Jesus is saying, that will be a sign to others, that will be a light to others, that you are truly who you say that you are. And that's what Paul says in this. He gives a number of examples. He gives examples that we need to think about our reputation. And then he gives an example, or he brings out the idea of the genuineness of our love. We know the great commandment is to love our neighbors ourselves. We've been concentrating on that for months. And we say we love other people. We love our neighbor. Well, Paul is saying, okay, you say that. Show it. Show the genuineness of your love for others. You say you love other people. You say you love your neighbor. In the Good Samaritan, we know that our neighbor is anyone in need. Doesn't mean we have to even know who that person is. Do we show the genuineness of our love by being a generous people? That's what Paul says in this section. He says, prove your faith. Prove that you truly love your neighbors yourself by being generous to other people. And then he gives us the example of Jesus himself, very similar to what he does in Romans chapter 15. When we're supposed to accept each other, he says, remember, Jesus came to this earth not to please himself, but to please others. He came not to be served, but to serve other people. In the same way, we need to learn to live to please other people and not just to please ourselves. That's the example that Jesus gave to us, the very example of Christ himself. And lastly, he rounds it up in the last verse and goes in chapter 9 a little bit that way too. He says, you need to give just for your reputation so that you won't be embarrassed. How is it going to look if those guys up there in Macedonia give a whole lot to the Jerusalem and you guys down here in Corinth that have a whole lot more to give don't give very much? You're going to be embarrassed. Do we think about our generosity being an embarrassment? That's what Paul says. If you're not a generous people, you're going to be an embarrassment to yourselves and even to the Lord Himself. We think about this weekend as being a weekend of Thanksgiving. Well, Thanksgiving has the idea of giving thanks. And that's mentioned a number of times in this whole section, the idea of giving thanks. And we give thanks when we show our thankfulness. Look now with me, and we're going to go into chapter 9. And look what Paul says at the beginning. Before we get to chapter 9, one thing in chapter 8 that Paul does go through is that we don't give more than what we have. He says this even with the Macedonians, that they gave according to their means. And that's what he says in this section, that we give according to what we have and not more than what we have. He says, now finish it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out in what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may not, so there may be fairness. As is written, who gathered much has nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. What Paul is saying is, I'm not asking you to give more than you should, but be aware that when you do give, the time may come when you may need help from them. And that's the idea of sharing. We share so that we give to each other, Not that we give more than what we have. So that there will come a time in which we may need to receive. And that's the idea of fairness that he brings out. Now look over with me at the beginning of chapter 9. The first few verses. He says, the point is this. Whoever spares sowingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one which give as he decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all sufficiency in all things and in all times you may abound in every good work. As it is written, He has distributed freely to the given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now notice a number of things that Paul says in this section as before we get down to the next section. He says in this section that we need to think about our relationship to God. We want God to bless us. We even pray sometimes for God to bless us as we should. But what Paul is saying, if you want God to bless you, you need to learn how to bless other people. And that idea of you, God's going to treat us as we treat others, is one of the principles you see throughout the Scriptures. And that our very relationship to God depends upon us being a generous people. In Proverbs 11:25, the writer says, a generous man will prosper. He also refreshes others. He himself will be refreshed. So if you want to be blessed by God, learn to give to other people. Learn to be generous with other people. We have two examples that our very relationship to God depends upon the way that we are thankful to God for what He's given us. And that Abraham and his grandson Jacob. If you remember the story of Abraham, at one time, Abraham, actually his name had not been changed, it was Abram. His nephew Lot had been taken prisoner by a king of another city. Actually, all their cities, they called the head of the city a king. And so Abraham got all his men together, and actually Abraham had like 300 guys work for him. Abraham was rich beyond what we can even think about. And he took those 300 guys, and he goes out and he gets Lot and brings him back. And when they get Lot, they bring back all the spoils that these other guys, these robbers, had taken. And then they have basically a celebration of thanksgiving to God for giving them victory. And Melchizedek, the priest at that time, comes out and Abraham gives him 10% of all of the spoils that they've taken in this battle. Now 10% to Abraham, as I said, Abraham had 300 guys work for him. He was one of the richest guys in the world at that time. Giving back 10% didn't hurt Abraham at all. But it was the idea of giving thanks back to God. Now we have another example of giving. And that comes many years later. And that's with Jacob. And we've looked at this before. But remember the story of Jacob. Jacob had a brother Esau. Abraham has one son Isaac. And Isaac has the twins, Jacob and Esau. And Jacob and Esau fight even before they were born. In the mother's womb they were fighting. And they grow up fighting each other. Such that by the time that Jacob is a young man, 18, 19, 20 or something there, Esau's so mad at him, he says, you know, as soon as dad dies, you're history. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to take you out. And that's the way they were fighting with each other. And so Jacob decides, well, you know, maybe it's just better to leave than stay here and fight Esau, because evidently Esau was a much better fighter than Jacob. So Jacob decides to leave and go to Laban, his uncle. And on his way, he overnight sleeps and he sees what we sometimes refer to as the stairway of heaven. God gives him this vision, the angels coming up and down from heaven. And at the end of that vision, Jacob says these words, or makes a basically a covenant with God. And notice what Jacob says. He says, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I may come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set up as a pillar shall be God's house. And for all that you give me, I will give a full tenth to you. Now here we have Abraham giving a tenth. But Abraham had tremendous wealth, probably more than he could count. Jacob says the same thing. But Jacob is about as poor as you can be. Jacob doesn't have anything more than the shirt on his back. That's all he's got. Now he will be blessed by God and he will become a rich man. And as far as we know, he's always fulfilling this covenant. But the point you can see is that their relationship to God was the idea that they would give back to God an offering of thanksgiving to God. Our relationship to God depends upon us being thankful for what God has blessed us with. And as Paul talks about in this section of Corinthians, that God has blessed us so that we can be generous. But if we're not generous with God has blessed us with, there's no reason to think God will continue to bless us. So if you want the blessings of God, we need to learn to use those as God intends us to. We need to learn to be generous with what God has given us. Look at the last section that we have. And here Paul kind of brings everything, I think, into focus a little bit. This is the end of our scripture reading today, and it goes through 2 Corinthians 10 through 15. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. In other words, God will bless you. He will give you the things that you need. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Now notice what he says. He will bless you so that you can bless others, and through the blessings you give to others, they will give thanksgiving to God. It all comes back to this idea of thanksgiving and generosity. This service that you perform is not only in supplying the needs of God's people, but also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. See, when we are generous to other people, we show our thanks to God. We truly live our thanksgiving. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given to you. Thanks be to God for indescribable gift. Now, there's a number of things that Paul ends this section with that I'd like for you to see with me. But the idea is that we will be blessed when we learn to be a blessing to other people. Being good means not doing bad things, but it means to be beneficial or good to those around us, being generous with all that God has blessed us with. Paul says, when you do good for others, you are doing good for them. They will appreciate it, and they will give thanks to God. You want to increase the glory of God in the thanksgiving to God? You give thanks to God. You give your generous gift to others. They, too, will give thanks to God. And so the blessings really are multiplied, if you want to think of it that way. He says God will give you the things that you need. You want to be a blessing to others? Think about, and notice how many times Paul uses that term grace. We think about God's grace as God's grace to us, but here he talks about the act of grace that we have in giving to others. We want God's grace for us. What Paul is saying, if you want God's grace, learn to give grace just as God has given grace to you. Learn to start living as Jesus lived. We talk about being Christians. We talk about living as Christ. What he's saying is start living that way. And prove it by not just saying it, but by doing it. He said, when you learn to be generous, people will see your generosity and they will praise God for it. It will be a witness of your faith and your love. This whole section that Paul brings out is that idea of proving your love by the way that you live. Live your faith, is what Paul is saying. Show your love. Show it's genuine. And do that by learning to be generous to other people. Then you will be blessed by God, and you'll be blessed by those that you give to, because they too will bless you. And thanksgiving from God will go from you and from them. And all of that will be for God's glory, because we will surely reflect Jesus in our lives. Seven things that I saw in this lesson today that I'd like to share with you. First, from the very beginning, from Abraham on, we can see that part of our worship with God revolves around our giving. Malachi, which we didn't read this, but you go back to chapter 1 of Malachi. Malachi, the prophet, kind of does a question and answer, and the Israelites are saying, why does God hear our prayers? And Malachi says, well, maybe you need to look at what you're doing, because you're not giving honor to God. If you honor God, God will honor you. and the honor of God that they were not giving, they weren't being generous to God. They weren't giving their tithes and their offerings to God as He commanded. Grace, giving is a grace. It's a blessing to be able to give. And that's one of the ideas that Paul brings this whole section. We're not blessed just to hold it in. We're blessed so that we can give those blessings to other people. And that's why I think he talks throughout this whole section of the act of grace that our giving is. Giving, then, is a grace given to us by God. We show our love and our faith, if it's truly genuine, by the way that we share with other people. We're called to be generous because our God is generous. How did God show His generosity to us? In Romans chapter 8, Paul says that He who did not spare His own Son, will He not give you all things? God has given us everything. He's given us life. He's given us a beautiful creation. He's given us His own Son. He's given us everything He knew or knows to give us. And He expects us to show that thankfulness in all the blessings that He's given us. Giving, and we haven't touched on this morning, but we have in the past, requires us to use those blessings of God in the rightful manner. We need to have some discipline and self-control in our lives, that we don't just waste those gifts that God gives us, but so that we can return those to Him and to others. Our generosity will bring glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is one of the ways we have of letting our light shine before people. Jesus said, "Let your light shine, because you are the light of the world, by your good works." Not by the things that you say, but the things that you do. We need to live our good works. And finally, by our generosity, we will be blessed, both by God and by the prayers and thankfulness of those that we are able to bless. This morning, this weekend, I don't know of a better time to think about being thankful for all that God has done for us. And when we're thankful for what God has done for us, hopefully that should be shown in our generosity and our thankfulness to others that are in need. So think about your life. And think about the genuineness of your faith. Is it being shown in the way that you live, in the way that you're generous and share with those around us? This morning, if you've never started that walk with Christ, there's never a better time to learn what living for Christ means by being one of His. If you've started that walk but haven't been faithful, maybe you haven't really been a generous person, there's never a better time to start on that true road than right now. If you need to come in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.